Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by Cody Tracy on mic. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Awesome.
It's great to be in the same room together, not doing this on Zoom. Matt's in the house producing. Karen's here feeding me wisdom throughout the day. And Cody, what's our topic today?
The company you keep.
That's right. The company you keep, which has two meanings. The company you keep, people say, you know, that's what determines who you become, the company you keep. And then the company where you work, the one you decide to work at and to stay there and how it impacts your life. And this came about because we were talking the other day about how everybody knows that saying, you're an amalgam of the five people you spend the most time with or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had this conversation with my son, my 17-year-old son, 2 days ago. And he was surprisingly interested in this. I said, who are your five closest friends? Because they determine a bunch about who you are. And we went through it and talked about who had the most positive impact and how it was different and what they did. And then we thought, everybody knows that. But in the world of work, we don't think about that very often.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought about the macro impact of that, the company you keep, the place where you work, how it impacts your life. And it brings out good things in you or might accentuate not good things. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And I'd be remiss to not say that's why Bo's not here.
Right.
No. I'm just teasing Bo. As you're listening to this, we miss you, buddy. But yeah, I love this conversation we were having around the lunch table about this very thing. Is boy, you think about that often in terms of your personal relationships, but it's even more, it's just as important and maybe even more of a trap as it can become more of a trap at work. And so how do we help people understand, how should we think about this? Because it really, you're in the act of actively becoming something, and the environment and the people that are in your environment are molding you into that. And I don't think we often take a step back and realize that's happening from 9 to 5 every day we're at our jobs.
And what's interesting is when we think about me talking to my 17-year-old son, who spends a lot of time with his friends, but he's at school and he's in different classes and he plays a sport and if he has a job and he's at home with his family, he probably spends 20% of his time with them. I've worked with Karen and Tracy for 28 years and we spend 8 hours a day together. And so if you think, and I went back and I thought about my career, like my first job and my second job and how that shaped me, sometimes for good, oftentimes against the grain. And oftentimes I think when I look back, I think I left there because I didn't feel like I belonged and it was actually accentuating my good qualities. And I wasn't really having an impact on them because I didn't really fit. And that's something we should all think about. What do the people you spend the most time with, what kind of impact are they having on you? Is it good? Is it not? What kind of impact are you having on them? And maybe more than any other question, when people say, how do I know where I should work? Work someplace where the people you're with are going to make you better.
I think that was one of, as we were having that conversation out there around the lunch table, I, with a little empathy, said, hey, or maybe empathy toward another person, but retroactively looking at my own career, I thought, boy, I'm almost 10 years in at the table group. And I've told my story before the table group. You know, I worked at a small startup in San Francisco. I'd be a different person if I had stayed at that company for the last 10 years. I'm not sure in a good way. I'm pretty convinced that the relationships that we built here and the way that we become more self-aware and challenge each other and have good conflict has shaped me in a very positive way. And I think so many people haphazardly don't think that they would be shaped that much. And I look back and go, boy, that would have been, I'd be a different person now 10 years later. Had I not made the change.
And we should be more grateful to God and to one and to others. Because we tend to go, yeah, I'm the person I want to be. It's like, no, if you had worked someplace else, and we should have mercy for other people too and grace for people that have worked in really difficult environments. And if they're a little rough around the edges, it's like, yeah, they've been shaped even unintentionally. And they're not being the way they're being because they want to be. Oftentimes, if they've just been in an environment, maybe they had a job they couldn't leave.
Sure. And do you think people understand the power of influence in the workplace?
No. I think we go to work and think, I'm coming as myself. It's transactional. And while I'm there, I'm just being myself. And then I leave and I go home and my family impacts me.
Yeah. And that's dangerous.
It is, because then we're more susceptible to letting the company we keep influence in ways we're not even aware of.
And it's a slow creep.
Yeah. And if you do work in a place where very few of the people you're around, you want to emulate them, you want them to shape you, mm-hmm. you better go in and be protective and careful mm-hmm. every day. Because like you said, it's the frog in the pot of boiling water. Suddenly you look around, you go, gosh, I'm kind of like these people. Mm-hmm. And I never really intended to be.
Mm-hmm. And I would say even the idea of you could go in with your best defenses. People might go in and say, hey, I don't love the people I work with, or I'm going to put up my guard. You're still like a semi-permeable membrane, yes. right? Especially mm-hmm. when you think of it in terms of years and decades. It's totally reasonable to think that the environment where you spend half of your waking time is going to impact you. And that can either be a positive impact, it's going to shape you in a way, or a negative impact.
Right. Imagine leaving your house and your spouse saying, okay, go out there and protect yourself. After a while, you should go, do I really want to work someplace where protecting myself is what I want to do? Mm-hmm. But if you have no choice, protecting yourself is better. But go someplace where you can actually go there and open yourself up and say, please influence me mm-hmm. and let me influence you. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think the company you keep, make sure your company is actually influencing who you are. Now, let's talk about experiences we've had in other jobs and how it influenced us without naming names of companies or individuals.
Well, it's interesting. I think back to my first job, which I took. I was a heating and air conditioning specialist.
Right.
Specialist is a term I use very loosely because I really was installing heater furnaces and AC units and digging and going into people's crawl spaces. And I was young. And I took the job because it was a good friend of ours' dad owned the business and it was a summer job. But even then I thought, oh man, some of these guys have worked here for 10 years and while the culture was pretty decent for a HVAC company, they felt trapped or resigned. This is the company I keep. This has been 10 years now. They didn't have aspirations for anything outside of that, or maybe thought that they got trapped in a skill set that was just there. And the opposite is also true. It was like when you're around people or an environment where they're constantly challenging you to learn new things or be excellent in what you do, it can have that effect. Yeah. I think that environment it can feel like a trap sometimes if you're not conscious about it and intentional about who you're spending your time with and what company you actually work for.
The second job I had out of college was a company that was known for being ruthless in the competitive environment and internally. They were just as competitive against other companies as they were internally. They were stabbing each other in the back and everything like that. And you spend 2.5 years there, even if you're kind of aware of that, mm-hmm. if you're mm-hmm. trying to succeed and fit in, you have to adopt their ways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even if you go home at night and go, gosh, I don't want to be like that, every day you're learning muscle memory to succeed in that environment. And I remember when I left that company and went to one of their competitors, it was known to be different. The founder of the company said to me, Pat, we're going to detox you. Mm-hmm. We like you, even though you worked at a company whose culture we think is poisonous. So it's going to take a few months to detox you. Mm. And that's how we should be thinking about it. What is this place doing? What did that place I worked with do to me? Mm-hmm. And now how can I go back and make sure it didn't infiltrate me in ways I don't want?
As we're having this conversation, Pat, I actually think one of the really interesting things is a company, especially when you're at a job, it's really rare for you to get to experience another job. Like,
right.
You know, I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, or who had lived in Seattle for a long time, and they have this thing called the Seattle Freeze or whatever, where the people of Seattle are...
If you're not from there?
Yeah. Well, just in general, like the culture there is a little cold. They're not as warm. They're not as welcoming or hospitable. And they took a vacation to Texas. And there it was... It was shocking for them because someone was holding up under the door and asking them how their day was and all. And she was like, I had no idea that the Seattle Freeze is that real. I had heard about it, but you live in that environment so much. Now she has the ability to go travel somewhere, but in your job, you don't mm-hmm. really know. You go to the same office with the same people all the time. It may be even more dangerous because you have nothing to juxtapose it to say, oh man, I didn't realize my eyes weren't open to the way this culture is affecting me. You don't get exposed to that. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah. It's like when you're a kid, you only have one family, one mm-hmm. set of parents. And so it's not until you're adult that you realize, oh, that wasn't the only model. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, I guess everybody gets parented this way. I guess I'm just going
right.
to, and then you get older and you go, oh, I have to choose the kind of person I'm going to be. And maybe you had fantastic parents and you go, yeah, most of what they gave me, I want to emulate. But sometimes you go, so not everybody dealt with that. And so So that's, childhood is riddled with that. But even our careers can be like that. Yeah. And my dad worked at the same company for 40 years. Mm. It's like, that was how he saw the people that influenced him every day. I don't think he knew there was a different way.
Right.
I remember when I went into this field, I think he found it interesting. Once I had an opportunity to do something with him and the place he worked, and I think he was just like, whoa, I didn't even know there were other ways to do this.
Yeah.
And so we have to be aware of the fact that there's more than one way and there's other places out there, and we should choose it based on that.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's a unique part of our job. A little bit we get to, because of the consulting side of what we do, we get to pop into other people's jobs. Like, it's, we get to see the company culture. And we were just at a company that we're working on a partnership with that we'll announce when it's ready.
Yeah.
But we went down there and got to be in their offices. And it was like people were bouncing off the walls to be there. They were playing walk-up songs when they made a sales call. And that type of exposure, we're talking about how it can be a trap sometimes, is actually, there's cultures out there that are causing more people, because of the culture of the company and the team that they're on, to aspire to more, to be happy, to be better, to sharpen each other. And that's the, rather than sit here and lament, like, you should be aware if you're going to work and thinking, I have to put my defenses up. And then maybe we could even talk about, hey, what should you do? But the other thing is to know that's out there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking, you're probably going to be made a better person or a worse person wherever you are. People that my son was telling me he hangs out with, they're either making you better than you want to be or not as good as you want to mm-hmm. be. And so the person that's in that company where they know they don't want the people to make them less good, they're just fighting it off to hold neutral, just to keep their head above water. Mm-hmm. And so people ask us for advice, like, when I go to a company and I interview, what should I be looking for? And we say, look, core values, and think about your Myers, your working genius, your Myers-Briggs, and all these different things. But the first thing you should ask yourself is, do I want to let these people influence me? Will these people make me a better father, husband, friend, person?
Yep.
Or will I have to fight against the influence?
Yep.
And I had a friend who for years would take a job in a startup and another startup, and it was always, are they going to IPO? And how much could I make? And I finally just said, hey, just go to someplace where you like being with the people. And he finally did. And he goes, it's made all the difference.
Yeah.
He goes, I should have listened to that long ago. But I do think we look at things like, well, they're not going to influence me. They are going to have a massive influence on your marriage, on your whole look at your worldview.
One of the ways that I've seen this play out, this very conversation, is I've had friends who are at a certain stage of their career, and people listening to this have probably done this at some point, and they say, they look at their boss's boss and the boss above them, and they not just look at the title and the salary, but they are like, oh, do I want that life? Do I want to become that person, the person that has that job? And when the answer is no, it's like this sort of, the floor falls out under them. Is like, oh, why am I here? Is that what I'm aspiring to? If I spend 7 more years here and I get promoted 3 times, is that the life that I want? And I think that's a pretty good indicator that you should start maybe even writing down, like, what is it? What is the group of people that I'd want to say yes to that are making me better, that I want to become like?
Oh gosh, you know, it's so funny. What my youngest son is getting ready to go to college next year. So he's in that process right now. And all these people are like, oh, what school are you going to? Is that a good school? And I always say, no, go to a school where you want to be around those people, because they're going to rub off on you and you're going to rub off on them, and that's going to make you better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And forget about rankings, because everybody has a different ranking. And that is, what's the number one school in the country for you becoming the person you're meant to be?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about the job situation, my first job shaped me in ways I had no understanding of. It took me years to recover. Now, in our case, it was a blessing. Thank you, God, because it led me into this field, because it was so dysfunctional that I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to help companies become more functional. But I didn't realize as I went in there, for the next 20 years, everything I thought about work was influenced by my first job experience.
Hmm.
And so I want to say to people out there, if you're talking to somebody who's about to start work, make sure they go into it with their eyes wide open and try to choose the job that they think will help them move in the right direction. Because in my case, my first two jobs moved me in the wrong direction. And it was years of detox. Okay, so what you guys don't know is that we just edited out like a 30-second gap when none of us knew what to say. And I want to talk about this, is because when we're doing a podcast, I've always wanted to say this. When somebody's talking, you're thinking, oh, I love, we're listening to each other, but we're also going, oh, what am I going to say to that?
Yeah.
And sometimes I know this because I listen to the podcast, as painful as it is, and I don't always comment on the thing the person said before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I sound, and I'm always like, oh, I sound so shallow. Yeah, whatever you said, Cody. But let me tell you what I'm thinking. And so sometimes we're all sitting here and it's dead silence because we're like, I don't know what to say. So that's just something about doing a podcast. But now you remember what you were going to say?
I love this conversation the more we're having it. I think it's more important than I thought it was when we started this podcast, because I think that it's really true. We're constantly becoming something, the future version of ourselves. And the environment we're in, the friends we surround ourselves with, even the work that we do is making us into that person. And I think that's very in the spirit of what this podcast, the meta like narrative of this podcast, which is, hey, work is not a transaction for you. It's not a, I'm going to go trade my skills for a dollar amount that seems reasonable for X amount of, you know, hours a day. It's actually way more important than that. And we're meant to work. We're meant to be dignified in the work that we do and do it with people that will make us better. And I think if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I don't have that, it's out there. You got to go find it. Take a risk and say, man, I want to know what that is. I want to know who those people are. And I want that life that's different than the one I have now.
And I don't know how to quantify or monetize that. I think it's priceless. I think it's priceless to find a place to work where you want the people to influence you and they want you to influence them. And I'll just say, Tracy and Karen, you're a big part of who I am. I would be a different person had I not spent the last 25 years with you, and Cody, the 10 years with you. And I'm proud of that and thankful to God and to you that I'm a better person for having worked with you. I want so many other people to have that same experience. And so
Amen, that's what
it's all about, having dignity and fulfillment at work. And that's a big part of it. So I think that's all that we need to say. Cody, you are doing the unpaid ad.
Yeah, that was the 30-second gap. That's what I was thinking about while you were talking. I was like, oh, it's my turn to do the ad. I don't know what I'm going to do it for. And in that 30 seconds, well, what you were saying, I'm sure something very wise that I wasn't listening to. I thought the unpaid ad should be for friends. I was thinking about who are the five people that I have in my life and how are they shaping me? And so as much as I made fun of my brother on the last podcast who came on, he's one of them. And I've got some really good people in my life that want me to be a better person than I am even in my current state and push for that. And I know there's a lot of lonely people out there. Go find some friends who care about you and want to push you.
Yeah. When I did this with my son, half the time I talk to my 17-year-old. My wife and I are constantly trying to get deep conversations with him. He's like, oh, thanks, Mom, Dad. I'm fine. I'm going to get him a shirt that says I'm fine. So we can just point to it. But he really liked this. Because I said, and so your commercial is, I think everybody should do a little audit and do it with another person and go, who are your five?
Yep. Mm.
And he went through his friends and he like, Leo. And I was like, love Leo. He has a great impact on you and you and him. And then he went to others. And the fifth one he told me, I was like, he's sketchy at times. He goes, I know, here's what he brings to the table and what I love about him. Here's the parts that I don't try to emulate. But being that intentional about that and knowing who those five are, I have to say, and this is not something I should be ashamed of. I should be glad about this. But so in my life, I have a couple friends outside of work, but you guys impact me more than anybody. When I have to make a decision in life, I'll ask you guys. And so do the audit.
Yeah.
Go, who are the five? Don't be ashamed about where you know them from or whatever else. And ask yourself, what are they helping me with? And what do I need to be aware of? So that's our unpaid ad. All right. I love doing this. This is so fun. Thank you all for listening. And we will talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.